Hey, I want to say thank you to the ladies for singing these Christmas songs for us, some of the great Christmas hymns that we have in the church. And you guys have done a great job, and they sound terrific, don't they? And so we're grateful for that. We've been in this series during Advent where we've been talking about Christmas songs that many of us grew up singing, not only in the church, but out in the culture that we live in. Matter of fact, the other day, I was in a store for like 10 minutes. And in those 10 minutes while I was in there, over the intercom system, the songs that we're playing were the three songs that we've already talked about in this series. And so these are songs not only important to the church, but they're also an important part of our culture. And God uses these songs, as we've been finding the last few weeks, to talk about the meaning of Christmas, to remind us what His coming is all about. And so I hope as we've gone through this series that you have been inspired and gained a new perspective on some of these songs as we've looked to see what they say about Jesus Christ coming 2,000 years ago. Now today's the last Sunday of Advent, and we're going to see the truth from God's Word that springs from one of my favorites. Have I said that every week? Another one of my favorites, Christmas song, and that is O Come, Emmanuel. Now, the history of this song is interesting. The lyrics were actually written, we think, in the 8th century. Now, that's a long time ago, but during that season in the church, a lot of the services were filled with a lot of singing or chanting by priests. And probably some of you have heard me sing, and you're very glad that we don't have a lot of chanting or singing by me in a service. But what they would do, especially right before Christmas, the week before Christmas, the services leading up, they would chant these phrases that all started with the letter O. And then somebody would read a psalm, and then they would, you know, sing or chant another phrase, other phrases that started with the letter O. And they became known as the O antiphones. And they were all written in Latin. And it wasn't until like the mid-1800s that a translation of these lyrics was married to the tune that we commonly sing it with today. And so really, while the words of this song go back a long way, the song itself in its current form really in the mid-1800s came about. Now, the one word that's going to describe our whole message today is the word Emmanuel. Now, what does that word mean? Well, Emmanuel means God with us. How many of you have ever prayed that, you know, hey, man, God be with me? Maybe you were going on a trip and you're like, God, protect us and watch over us and don't let us, you know, don't let our kids kill each other in the back so that we can get to our trip safely. God be with us as we travel. God be with us as we go Christmas shopping at the mall. Help us to find a parking spot in Jesus' name, please. God be with me as I go talk to my boss about a raise. God be with me as I pay my bills. God be with me when I talk to my kids about the birds and the bees. And God be with me when I apply for that job. And God be with me when I'm in the doctor's office and get my report back today. What does it mean to you for God to be with you, for God to be with us? I want to read from Matthew where an angel is talking to Joseph, and he's telling Joseph about Mary and the baby that the Holy Spirit has conceived inside of her. And this is what the angel says to Joseph in a dream. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Now, what Matthew's going to do now is he's going to quote from Isaiah, who prophesied about Jesus coming 740 years before this took place. And so God is going to quote here, the angel's going to quote to Joseph, Isaiah 1:14, that says this: Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, if this were a movie, at this point, the music would get real dramatic, and you know, they would say, he's called Emmanuel, God with us, da 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 da, something like that. And because it's this is a big idea, right? This is one of the most earth-shattering things about the whole Christmas story. And because here, everybody listening or reading this for the first time, everybody who knew their Old Testament, they knew that God is too holy. You can't look upon him. You can't see him in his essence and his holiness and live. Matter of fact, a lot of them wouldn't even say his name. I mean, they would have known that Moses had to hide his face when God passed by because Moses couldn't handle the full-blown presence of God. You know, they would have known that when God dwelt in the temple, nobody was allowed into the temple except for the high priest, only into the Holy of Holies once a year. And even then, you know what they did? They tied a rope to the poor guy's leg so that if in God's presence something was unholy about him and God struck him dead, they'd be able to pull him and drag his poor body out of there. God was just that big. He's just that holy. God with us? What in the world are you talking about? What is it that made the shepherds run back into the fields rejoicing? What was it that caused the wise men to fall on their face and bow down and worship him? It was the fact, and this fact alone, that God no longer was some far-off, distant, uninvolved God. God was not someone who just watched over us, but now God was with us, the creator and the sustainer of the universe. He is a relational God who stripped himself of his glory and became like us in the form of a baby. He was all God and he was all man without sin, and he dwelt on earth. Matter of fact, John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. The Message says it this way, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory of God with our own eyes. I love that. God moved into the neighborhood. All of that is reflective of what the angel said to Matthew. He is Emmanuel. God is with you, God was with you, and God will be with you. And that's the best news ever. The problem is that many of us simply don't believe it. Or let me say this, we may say it and know it in our head, but when it comes to living it out the way that we live, we live as though it's not true. How many of us in these days of social distancing and separation, you know, we're having to have online worship instead of in-person worship when we can't be with family for holidays or celebrate Christmas the way we have in the past? How many of us have felt alone, forgotten? How many of us feel that we're all by ourselves? You know, the enemy jumps up on us and makes us feel isolated. Some of us who follow Jesus, we may not feel him right now because, you know, normally at Christmas we get all tingly and goosebumps, and, you know, we feel him at Christmas time because we, you know, all of the things that we do. But this year, no feeling at all. Kind of feel empty, as a matter of fact. Now, there's some of you who aren't even Christians. You may not believe in God, and so, you know, you really don't believe he's with you or have any sense of that. Some of you, you're in a really difficult spot right now. And I don't know if you've noticed, but Christmas is kind of a great magnifier. When things are going really great, I think Christmas makes things seem even more special and even better, maybe even than they really are. And then I also think that our brokenness, Christmas and holidays like this also kind of magnify the brokenness and the hurt and the pain and tend to make it worse in these seasons while everybody else is celebrating. Some of you, I don't know, you're facing an empty chair this year. Somebody that you wish was going to be there, and they're not. Maybe there was a divorce. Maybe there was a death. Maybe somebody moved away. And whatever it is, it just wrecks you inside, and you're numb. Maybe you have a health issue. Maybe last, you know, a year before, you were like the healthiest thing in the world, and all of a sudden, 2020 just is like one thing after the other. And so you're feeling kind of empty. You're feeling kind of, you know, away from God. Because where is God when I'm sick? Where is God in all this? I don't feel God. I don't see God. If there is a God, what is God doing? Is God really with me? Some of you, if you were really honest, you'd say, you know, I've done something in my life that I'm ashamed of. I don't know any reason why God would want to hang out with me anyway. God with me? That's really hard to believe if you knew what I had done. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I want you to know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt. No matter who's missing, no matter what's happened, in whatever circumstances you're in, I don't care what you've done or you haven't done. I don't care, whether you're by yourself or surrounded with many, many people. I want you to know something today. God is, God was, and God will always be with you. Because the Bible says he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And today in our time together, if you could just grasp and get a hold of this idea that no matter what, God has said he will be with us, it could change your life. It could make next year the most incredible year that you... It could make your marriage. It could make your relationship with your kids or your parents. It could make, everything in your life different. If you could just grab this one thing, that you are not alone and that God is with you. He has been and he will be. So let's talk about this for a minute. God is with us, right? In Luke 1:28, an angel comes to Mary. And whereas the angel came to Joseph in a dream, the angel stands there before Mary. And it says in Luke 1 that the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, God is about to ask Mary to do something incredibly difficult. And he wants her to know right off the bat, God is with you. This, I'm going to ask you to do something. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. But I want you to know you're not by yourself. God is with you. And some of you who are hurting right now, I want you to understand that the Lord is with you. Perhaps even in a more powerful way because you need him. 2 Corinthians 1, I think it's verse 3, tells us that God is a God of all comfort, Paul says, who comforts us in all our trouble. And the root of the Greek word that's translated as comfort is the word paraclete. It means to be along, called alongside, to be alongside of. Our God comes alongside of you. He is called to minister to you in your time of trouble. Well, what a picture of how God is with us. At times, when we're going through the toughest things at all, that's when he draws the closest. Our God comes alongside of us with us to comfort us in our times of trouble. I mean, that's a game changer. One day when my son was in first grade, we were having dinner, and he had been working that week on a spelling test that they were having that day at school. And so his mom had been helping him with all the words. And so when we're sitting down for dinner, all sitting around the table, we asked, "Hey, Michael, how'd you do on your spelling test?" He said, "I got them all right." I said, "Really? Well, awesome, dude." I said, "That's Miss Parker graded them really quick, huh? Got them back to you." And he said, "No." I said, "Well, then how do you know you made 100? "Oh, because I looked on so-and-so's paper." He said, "There was a couple of them I didn't know, but I saw what she wrote, and that's what I wrote." I said, "You mean you looked on, you during the test, you looked on somebody else's test for answers?" He said, "Yeah, just a couple of them." I said, "You copied somebody else's work?" "Yeah." So then we had to have this long discussion about what cheating was and how that was wrong. And I told him, I said, "Look, you've got to go tomorrow and you've got to make this right with Miss Parker. And you've got to tell her what you did." And oh man, was he upset. I mean, he started crying. I don't think it was the fact that he had to confess that, about the cheating as much as it was that he didn't want to disappoint Miss Parker. He loved Miss Parker. And he was just afraid that maybe he asked me, he said, "Dad," he said, do you think she's going to be mad at me?" And I said, "No, it's going to be okay." And he said, "Well, will you come with me?" "What are you going to do?" I said, "Sure, son." And so the next morning we got to school a few minutes early. I parked the car and we walked into the school and we went to Miss Parker's class. And the classroom was empty except for Miss Parker. And as we Got into the room. Michael buried his head in the side of my thigh, right into my slacks. I can still feel him there. Grabbed hold of my leg, and I felt so bad for him. I almost started crying. And I said, "Miss Parker," I said, "Michael, he needs to tell you something." At first, she couldn't understand him, so I had to get him to back off from my leg a little bit. And finally, he backed off enough to where he told her that he, during the test, he had looked on somebody else's paper for two of the right answers. And she was so kind to him. She reassured him that, you know, it was okay, and even told him she'd let him take the test over himself and without anybody else around. And she told him she loved him, and since he was early, would he help her set up her classroom for that day? And so that's what he did. And I got out of there, and I got to tell you, on my way back to the car, I just started crying. That was one of the hardest things to ever watch him do. I went around for the rest of the day with dried snot on my slacks. But, you know, I knew then he needed me to be beside him, you know. And if I, being an imperfect earthly father, know that, how much more does your Heavenly Father know that you need him through the tough times, through the tough trials, when you're facing difficulties and hardships, you know, when you're lost and you don't know where to go, you know, and you need him to be your guide, when you're hurting and you're feeling alone and you need him to be there to be your friend, when you're in the middle of a trial and you need comfort to know that he's there. If you're ever sick, to know that he's beside you as a healer. Whenever you're weak, to know that he is beside you giving you strength. That anytime you're lost in your sin, your God is with you as Savior. God is with us, and he will stand beside us no matter what we're going through. Here's another. Not only is God with us, but our God was with us. If you look back over your life, I bet you can see some times when God was with you, when maybe in the moment you didn't really know that, you didn't understand that. See, I think sometimes it's easier for us to look in the rearview mirror, you know, than it is right in the moment. Sometimes we miss him in the moment. But later on, we look back at a series of events in our lives and we go like, man, God's the one who got me through that. God was with me. There's a story in the Old Testament of Joseph. And this is a different Joseph than Mary's Joseph, okay? And it's in the book of Genesis, his story. This Joseph, if you don't know the story, at one time was a little boy, and he had big dreams, and he was daddy's favorite, and he had a coat of many colors, and he told his brothers one day that he was going to be a leader, and that God had showed him that all of them were going to bow down to him. Well, it made his brothers mad, and so they said, you know what, you're a punk, you're cocky. So his brothers beat him up, and they threw him in a pit, and they said, you know what, let's just leave him here for dad. And then one of the nicer brothers said, you know, he is our brother. He is our blood, you know. Why don't we just sell him into slavery? Maybe we can make a few bucks. And so they're like, okay. And so that's what they did. They sold him into slavery, and he lived with integrity, even though he'd been wronged horribly and even though he was terrible to be in slavery. And, you know, he ended up serving, and he kept his integrity, and someone made a false accusation against him, and he got thrown in jail. And people continued to, you know, make accusations against him, and people forgot about him, people who he had asked to help him, who were his friends. And if you were to look on all of this from a distance, it'd be real easy to say, where's God in all this? It would have been so easy for Joseph to say, you know, where are you, God? I mean, he goes through all of these trials. Where's God in the midst of all this? And you have to see the story over the course of his life to realize that God was actually working behind the scenes. You could say that the pit became the passage eventually to the palace, where he became second in charge over Egypt. And God used him in a very indirect route. He put him in charge of saving countless numbers of people from a tremendous famine. And the question, you know, would come, and where is God in all of this? And in Genesis 39, verse 21, God tells us exactly where he was. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed them his faithful love. That's where he was. I mean, you look back, he was there with Joseph. Joseph later on looked back with his brothers and they're like, man, talking about all this stuff they did and everything that he went through. And he went, you know what? What you meant for evil, God turned around for good. God didn't abandon me just because somebody did something terrible to me or life didn't turn out the way I wanted. God didn't abandon me just because somebody hurt my feelings. God didn't abandon me just because somebody made false accusations against me. God is still working. God is with me. I tell you what, I look back over our life, Lou and mine, I see all the different times when God was with us. And I remember when the transmission went out on both cars at the same time. Somebody put $1,700 of cash in an envelope in our mailbox with no name, no nothing. And beyond the fact that someone gave us that much cash, I mean, that was a miracle in and of itself. It may have been an even bigger miracle that nobody stole it, including my mailman. But God took care of us. He was there. Or I remember when we were headed to Louisiana for Luann's grandmother's funeral, and the car broke down at 11 o'clock at night on a dark stretch of Mississippi Highway. We pulled into a gas station that was just closing, and I asked for about a tow truck driver because the car, we couldn't continue the way that it was, and we were still like 4 hours away from Lou's house, so they recommended a tow truck driver, and so we were waiting on him to come pick us up. We were like a mile north of Jackson, I think, and while the tow truck driver's coming, I'm kicking rocks in the parking lot out there in the dark by myself. By this time it gets to be about 11:30. The funeral was in the morning and we were over 4 hours away and Lou was supposed to sing and I was supposed to preach and now it looked like we were going to miss it. But while I'm out there kicking out rocks and saying, God, where are you? I don't understand. What are you doing right now? You know what my wife and kids were doing in that van? They were asking God to rescue us. My wife and kids had the audacity to ask God to somehow get us to Alexandria that night so that we would not miss this funeral. What a waste of time, huh? That's impossible. Well, tow truck driver, he finally came. He got our van on the tow bar, and we all squeezed into the cab of his truck. And he said he'd drop us off at a motel that was near his house. He lived halfway between where we were and Jackson. And then in the morning, he'd pick us up and take us and our minivan on into Jackson for repairs, because there wasn't anywhere else to go. Luann started to cry, and the guy really felt bad for her, and he asked her, you know, he said, I know this is kind of a scary thing, but, you know, are you okay? And she told him about our situation, about me preaching, and about her singing at her grandmother's funeral in the morning, and Alec. And he said, you know what? He said, I don't normally do this, but I have an old 1970 Chevy that barely runs, and it doesn't have a license plate. But if you want, I'll lend it to you, and you can take it to the funeral, and when you come back in a few days, just drop it off at the house after you pick up your van. No charge. He was right. It barely ran, and there was no tag on it. But oh my, how God reminded me. I reminded my family how he built the faith of my kids by letting us know. They didn't even know we were in the dark stranded highway in the middle of nowhere, Mississippi. He is with us. He is there. I look back on that, and I don't know if you believe in angels or not. I believe God sends angels. I can tell you this, they're not always with big wings and fluffy white gowns and all of that other stuff. Sometimes they look like a pretty rough guy in the middle of Mississippi in a tow truck, because that's who God sent to let us know that he was with us. Now I could go on with more stories, because when I look back over my life, I can see where God has been beside me, how our God has been with us. I bet you can too. Matter of fact, I wonder if you might pause the video right now, right here, and if you're with some other people, share a story of how God has been with you. Maybe you're watching this alone. Pause the video and write down on a piece of paper a time when God reminded you that he was with you, that he's there. We need to do this because I think it's important for us to remember God is with us. pause your video for just a moment. Lastly, God not only is with us, and God not only has been with us, but God will be with you. No matter what you go through, God will be with you. I want you to think for a moment about this teenage girl, Mary. When the angel said, "The Lord will be with you," I can only imagine if she could have seen the future, right? I mean, she knew it was going to be hard. She knew it was going to be difficult, but I don't think she knew everything. I mean, she knew she could be stoned to death for being pregnant and not married. You know, she knew that her parents and her family, surely she knew that there was a great chance that everyone was going to reject her, and even maybe that Joseph was going to put her away. But what if she could have seen everything? I mean, what if she could have seen beyond all of that to see all the other stuff? I mean, could she have imagined, could she have said to herself, you know, God will be with us. I know he'll be with me when I'm traveling on a donkey's back for 100 miles. Or God will be with me when there's no room for us in an inn. And God will be with me when I give birth to the Son of God in a dirty manger next to farm animals. And God will be with me when I go on the run trying to save the life of my son and we have to flee to Egypt just so he can not be killed by Herod's soldiers. You know, later on as an adult, what if she could have seen God and said to herself, you know, I'm sure God will be with me when I watch my son be falsely accused and persecuted. And God will be with me when I watch my son suffer on a cross brutally, abused by sinners for whose sin he will die as they drive stakes through his body. And I wonder what she would have said, you know, I'm sure God will be with me as I watch him suffer. And God will be with me when he looks up into heaven and my son says to his father, it is finished. And God will be with me when he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. And God will be with me when the earth goes dark. And God will be with me when the whole earth shakes. And God will be with me on that first night after his death, when I wait in the dark and I wonder, where was God today? And God will be with me on the second night when I wait and wonder, where is God? Where is God? What's going to happen? Will my pain go away? This separation from my son? And God will be with me on the third day when the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty and he's not there, because he is risen, because he is Emmanuel, because he is God with us, and he is God who was with us, and he is God who will be with us no matter what I go through. I wonder on that day when the angel said, God is with you, I wonder if she could have imagined all the things that lie ahead in the future. And if she could have, what would her response to the angel be? I wonder for us. I don't know what's ahead in our future. I don't know what's going on in your future. I don't know what's, you know, it just seems in these days with everything we're going through, it's hard to predict tomorrow, much less next week, next month, next year. But here's what I do know. Is that I do know just the way that Mary, just the same way that Mary was able to endure and be victorious through all of those situations, that through all of those circumstances that were brought about in her life and in her heart because of the birth of Jesus, I believe with all my heart that that same God who was with her through all of those things is going to be with you through all the things that you go through. He is with us, he has been with us, and he will be with you in the future. That's why a verse, I don't know, we keep going back to it recently. Romans 8:35, Paul says it this way, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he says, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nope, nothing. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let me tell you something. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. You never will be alone. Nothing can separate you from Him. Not your fears, not your doubts, not your insecurities, not your theological questions, not the things that you can't explain, not your brokenness, not your failures, not your mistakes, not your sickness, not your divorce, not what somebody else did to you, not your broken dreams, not a pandemic or social distancing or the lack of in-person worship. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, because He is, He was, and He will always be with you. The only thing that can separate us from Him is if we allow those things to do it. And you don't have to, because you have this promise, He is with me. You know, in Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, He said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the God who is with us. He is the God who's been with us. And He is a God who will be with us forever. He is Emmanuel." The only question that needs to be answered today is this: are you with God? More than anything else, He came, as Luann read at the beginning of our worship today, to be a tangible demonstration of God's love for us. More than anything else, God wants you to be with Him, loving Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because He is not a God who is far off or uninvolved or distant. He is a relational God who came to earth to reveal Himself to you and forgive you of your sin, so you could, in the words of 1 John 4:9, live your life through Him. I don't know what situation you find yourself in today. I don't know how close you feel to Him. I don't know how far away He seems. But oh, today, somebody's needed to hear that God is with you today. And so I just want to pray with you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't know what you've been fighting this week. I don't know what you've been dealing with this week. I don't know what anyone has done to you, and I don't know what you've done. But here's what I know. God knows. And right now, wherever you are watching this, God wants you to know that His very presence, it wants to draw near and close to you. And so would you still your heart with me for a few minutes? And let's pray together, and let's ask God to draw near to us right now, so that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, deep down inside here today, that our God is with us. Heavenly Father, we come to You today and we still our hearts. These are unusual days. For some of us, these are some of the most difficult days we've ever lived through. And the problems that we face and the situations that we come up against, God, they are as different as we are individuals today. But one thing I know that is universal, Your people need to know that You are with them. God, we need to grab hold of that promise, of that fact today, that Jesus came into this world. You sent Your Son to be a demonstration of Your love for us. And that today, Father, You are right here with us, wherever we are. Will you continue to pray and talk to God? And as you do, I just want to ask you right now, will you just tell God what's the matter? Will you just tell God, "Lord, I'm not feeling things lately. I'm not sensing Your presence. I'm worn down. I feel beat up. I feel isolated. I feel alone." Really let God today know how you feel and what you're feeling. Let Him know today what you're going through today. God, I just pray for every person, for every circumstance and situation that tries to cause us to feel separated from You, for every circumstance and situation that comes up in our life that tries to divide us from You, Lord, we have the promise of your word that nothing can separate us from your love. And so, God, I just pray right now that every person that's listening, Lord, will embrace your presence, that you would go to them right now, wherever they are, and that you would speak to them, that your presence would be felt in the room, and that, God, we would all latch on to the promise that nothing can separate us from your love today, that we are not alone, but that you are right beside us. Oh, God, today recall to our mind the ways that you have been with us in the past. Would you just thank God right now for the ways that you have seen him come through in your life? The times when you felt alone and looking back, you realized God was right beside you. He's the one who got you through that. Oh God, today we give you thanks and give you praise for how you've been there in the past. And Lord, today we affirm with faith that you're going to be there in the future. Lord, you know what lies ahead. Our future is in your hands today. And so we commit our future to you, Father. Whatever waits around the corner, whatever comes next week, whatever next year brings, God, we give it all to you today because you're already out there in the midst of it, working and moving in our lives. You said in your word that we need not be concerned or about tomorrow and what it holds. Because today, Father, greater is he who is in us, who is with us, than he that's in the world. And so, God, today we put our hope and our trust in you. God, we just pray, we give you our future. Help us to go forth not in fear and doubt and worry, not, Father, with apprehension, but help us to live our lives in the days that are ahead with joy, to live our lives with confidence, knowing that you've got us, knowing that you're watching over us, knowing that you will keep us, and we will be victorious. God, I've read the end of the book. You win. You've already won. God, may you help us to live in the victory that Jesus Christ has brought our lives. And remind us always that you are God with us. You are God who has been with us. And you are God who will be with us in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining us this morning for online worship. And just want to let you know that Christmas is coming this week. So I want to say Merry Christmas to everyone. We are going to be doing a video for Christmas Eve, and it will be posted at 4 o'clock wherever you're watching this at. And you'll be able to, if you want to, it'll be about a 20 to 25 minute service, and we'll light the Christ candle. We'll have another one of these great videos we've been watching during Advent. We'll have a great song that we'll sing, and then just a few words from me as we kind of focus in on Christmas Eve, what that night is all about. So if you'd like to, hope your family will join me for that as we worship together on Christmas Eve. Hey, God bless you. Merry Christmas.